This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Troy Green.
Oh, what an answer!
No, you're not serious!
The impossible happened just when you think you've seen it all.
He's
going
to take it all the way to the touchdown!
Matt Orbebe with the ball in the air, makes the catch! And Illinois completes the largest comeback in school history.
Matt Orbebe able to break a tackle and get into the end zone for the Illinois touchdown. That is a touchdown for Daniel Barker. Mike Epstein across midfield. Oh, what a heroic effort from Brandon Peters.
The signature win for Lovie Smith and that Illinois football program.
We're going golden.
The biggest upset of the college football season.
Not you, Rutgers!
Ball is out, scooped up and into the end zone for a touchdown, Nilo Eichler.
Former top 100 national prospect Luke Ford announces his intent to transfer to Illinois from Georgia.
It's our time to be the bully now.
Welcome you in. It is game day for the Fighting Illini as Illinois handles, we hope, Wisconsin tonight, a 7 o'clock kickoff at Camp Rantoul in Madison, Wisconsin. The weather is going to be
Camp
pretty...
Camp Rantoul.
Did I say Camp Rantoul? Camp Randall.
Make it easy work of them. It's going to be practice tonight, huh?
First of all, I said we'd handle them at Camp Rantoul. I'm all about it. The weather in Madison will be similar to what we're staring at here. In Central Illinois, I'm glad you enjoyed yesterday while you can, because I think that was probably it. It is chilly, and why not? It's Big Ten football time, and this is what it's all about. Derek Piper, it is game day. I woke up at 6 a.m. I've been on the road for 6 hours today driving, and all I could think about was, man, if Illinois could get a victory tonight, how sweet would that be?
Yeah, it'd be absolutely huge, and we've waited a long time to get to Big Ten football being played, to see what this Illini football team is all about. Nice little escape with the weather yesterday, getting up to 80, coming in with shorts and everything. But you wake up today, and it feels like a Big Ten football day.
It does.
I'm excited about that and look forward to kicking back on the couch and with a beer and watching the game tonight. But before that, we're going to break it all down.
Boom. My tailgate crew texted this morning at 6:59 and said, guys, we should be in Lot 31 right now, getting ready for a game. Of course, this game at Wisconsin, so we wouldn't be tailgating anyway, but you get the point. We're all ready. We're all fired up. We're ready to roll. We are going to visit with Dre Brown, former Illini running back. He had a big carry. Of course, a big season and a lot of big carries, but he had a big carry against Wisconsin to help in that game last year when Illinois won 28-27, I believe, to upset Wisconsin. It was basically known as the biggest upset in college football last year. And then you look at it this year, Illinois still a 19 or 20-point dog against the 14th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers. Derek, are you shocked? Since it opened at 23, and I'm not going to talk betting all day here, but I got to do this. It opened at 23.5, and then it kind of got down to about 19, and we thought, honestly, I did. Well, first of all, I didn't think it'd be 23.5 to begin. I maybe could have seen like 15, let's say, or 14, and then get down to about 10. Are you shocked that it's still at 19 or 20?
A little bit. I know that when it opens as big as it did at 23.5, lines don't get moved by, right, you know, a touchdown and a half.
Good point.
Unless there's some kind of new information brought to the table as far as an injury or, in this case, a positive COVID test. We didn't have that, but yeah, I mean, Trevor and I, the week before, had talked about, before the line came out, I mentioned 10.5. Mm-hmm. I would have saw 13 or even a 14, two touchdown dogs,
yeah,
on the road. That would have made sense.
I agree.
But as we've talked about all week in this lead up and ever since that line came out, there's a lot of things on Illinois' side that would make you think that they can make it a game at least. I still think that's too many points. And again, we just did our entire NFL segment yesterday, giving our picks and then saying we put money on the other side because that's how our reads have been recently. So let's hope this is not one of them. Let's hope that, and I think a lot of people, even those who like Wisconsin, even those who cover Wisconsin, would say, I don't see the Wisconsin offense, even with Jack Cohn, just blowing out Illinois, unless Illinois' offense just struggles that much, which is, I still think Jim Leonard's defense, without Chris Orr, without Zach Bond, who combined for 24 sacks, combined for those two, are still going to have a really, really stout defense. But I would hope with all that Illinois has back and throw in Luke Ford that it's not that ugly of a performance from Rod Smith's offense.
It is an aggressive 3-4 that Wisconsin runs defensively. Coming up at 4:30, we're going to do a segment where we're calling This or That, Illinois-Wisconsin edition. I'm anxious to go through this because essentially what we're going to be doing is comparing Illinois to Wisconsin in certain positions. And I'm wondering how much we will actually give the favor to Illinois in some of these. I think maybe when it's said and done, we may look at that and think, this game should be closer than what the experts have it picked. Again, Dre Brown will join us at 5:05. Jay Lehman joined us on Monday and broke down the game a little bit later. In case you didn't get a chance to hear that, we'll play what Jay had to say about this Illinois-Wisconsin game. And, of course, Hans D is here on a Friday, and we will do the Who You Got Big Ten Football Edition at 5:30. What is one thing that you know you're going to see tonight? And what is one thing you hope that you'll see tonight? I'm throwing that on you out of nowhere.
I know one thing. I know what Wisconsin's about, and that's lining up and trying to hand the ball off and establish the run and try to beat you up at the point of attack, you know, with your defensive line. And I think that leads into your question mark for Illinois. And their D-line up front, there's a lot of questions.
Yes.
You lose Batiku. You lose Jamal Milan. You lose Tito.
Yep.
And you're wondering and you're hoping and praying that Roderick Perry is your answer. And it's going to take more than just him. You need Jamal Woods to have a good year. You're going to need him to stay healthy. Calvin Avery, I'm just going to put the spotlight on him throughout the season.
I agree.
Come on, big boy. It's time.
It's time, right?
It's time to step up and have a good year. Owen Carney and Isaiah Gay on the corners are veterans, but they're guys that you expected to see more from, especially when Gay was someone as a freshman that had some bright spots.
Yep.
Carney was thought to be a pretty good recruiting get at the time. So, yeah, that's one thing I would want to see is make Graham Mertz beat you.
Yeah,
Make him make plays. Give him some third and mediums, even some third and longs if you can, and make him make throws against a Big Ten defense, which he hasn't played against before.
No, and I think when we talk about this defensive line of Illinois, I don't know that it's fair to make an assessment for the season over tonight's game. You're playing against a Wisconsin team that knows how to win, that always has a top flight offensive line. So you're asking this defense to do a lot if we're thinking they're going to disrupt and cause a lot of havoc tonight. In other words, if this defense doesn't get it done tonight, that doesn't mean they can't get a lot better in a week against a Purdue team and a Purdue offense that isn't necessarily like a Wisconsin offense. That's for certain. However, if you're going to have a chance to win this game tonight, that defensive line has got to do something. There's a lot of unknowns there, especially with Roderick Perry. And you said it right there. Last year, and I saw it with Akeem Spence. Now, I know I'm asking for Roderick Perry to be really good here, but you saw what Akeem Spence did when he was here. You saw last year what Jamal Milan was able to do. And that's one guy on a defensive line that really made a big effort and a big step to help this Illinois defense. If a guy like Roderick Perry can come in and at least be a little bit like those guys, then I think that's going to be huge for Illinois, because here's what I expect to see, and here's what I know I'll see. I'm with you. Wisconsin's going to run the football. Everybody out there is like, oh, really, Lon? That's really going out in the line. But I think a big reason why they're going to do that is because this is, like you said, Graham Mertz's first start. And look, he's a freshman, right? He's a redshirt freshman. He's got to have some butterflies going into this. You assume Illinois is going to throw some crazy stuff at him defensively, And you wonder how much they're going to trust him. Paul Chryst is going to trust him to just step back and wing the ball all around the football field. So I think early on, especially in that first quarter, you're going to see a lot of the run. But I think it's necessitated not just because Wisconsin always runs the ball, but I think it's necessitated because they've got a redshirt freshman and they want to get him into the groove of the game. And then, like we talked the other day with a Wisconsin beat writer, get some play actions. If that starts to work, you could be in trouble. You were going to say something, then I'm going to ask you about the effect of Melo Eifler not in this game in the first half.
Yeah, you look at some of the Big Ten stats last year as far as team offense. On the rushing side, Wisconsin was second only to Ohio State. Now, Ohio State was first in everything last year. That's just what they were.
We just don't even include them.
Every statistic. But and I know Jonathan Taylor's not there. I know that at least two, if not three, of Wisconsin's offensive linemen from last year are not back. But year in and year out, I would venture to say Wisconsin's towards the top of the Big Ten in that top two or three in rushing. And last year in rushing defense, in terms of yards allowed, Illinois gave up as many yards on the ground of the Big Ten as anyone other than Rutgers.
Wow.
So I feel scary. Like, and that again, and that's with some of the guys that we already mentioned who are not up front now going into tonight. So I agree with you that Mertz. And we heard the Wisconsin 24/7 analyst break down that it's a guy that can make plays down the field. I think when he gets one-on-one matchups, that's something that they'll try to exploit. I don't sit here and expect it to be run, and if it's third down, then they're going to throw it. They're going to mix it in, but I just think you have to win some of those up-front battles.
Melo or Milo? What are we going with?
Melo.
Because I always say it wrong. Melo Eifler has to sit out the first half because of a targeting call all the way back in December in a bowl game. I just think that is just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But it is what it is. That's been the rule for a long time. If you're called for targeting, then you have to sit out an entire half. And so he will not be playing in the first half. You'll see a lot of Kalen Tolson. You'll see a lot of Delano Ware. A guy like Melo Eifler is the one linebacker, and Jake Hansen as well, that is built, physically built, to stop the run in terms of being able to match up muscle-wise with an offensive lineman or a fullback and stop the run, that's going to be a big key. And I think that's a big loss that we're maybe not making enough of in this first half when I think Wisconsin's going to come out and try to set the tone with what they do best.
Yeah, I think that is another reason why you hope your defense keeps you in the game for a half. Not that Melo's your make or break,
but he's a guy
that can put a lick on somebody and almost be a tone setter. And if an offensive play caller decides, hey, we're going to, I mentioned it a lot, throw that halfback swing or we're going to get it out and try to beat him to the tackle, and Melo comes up and stonewalls, and maybe it makes you think twice about calling that play. So that's one that you're going to miss.
Yep.
And I wonder how much we're going to miss Daley Harding tonight when you watch him, when you watch the linebacking core without Daley. Now, look, Jake Hansen is a playmaker.
Yes.
And if he can punch one out, that's something that would be sorely needed, something that you built your identity on last year. I think that you're going to need it again this year as well. Now, we've talked a lot about this defense. I do think offensively, consistency, executing third downs, that was something they didn't do
for
three quarters against Wisconsin last year. They didn't do it consistently over the course of the season. I think that that's very, very important. But, of course, yeah, I do think when you talk about what Wisconsin wants to do, it's going to be winning the battle up front on just a dreary, cold, ugly night in Madison. That's going to be a huge key.
I hope that the addition of Luke Ford and Daniel Amatorbebe, along with Daniel Barker, I hope that means just automatically a little bit better on third down. You're pretty solid in the slot of Trayvon Sidney and Danny Navarro. If those guys are in there as well, it just seems like that's kind of the group that's going to catch that big third down and five and get you that first down and keep the sticks moving. I know time of possession. Illinois got dominated last year by Wisconsin in time of possession. Illinois is not alone in getting dominated by Wisconsin. They hang their hat on time of possession. I think that's a key thing to watch tonight as well. Even though Illinois was dominated last year, they still won the game. That's why there's some flukiness with regards to that victory last year. I think Illinois needs to get that time of possession better than what it was last year. I'm not asking them to win that tonight, but certainly it has to be a lot more even, and that's where third downs come into play, both sides. Obviously, on defense, trying to get Wisconsin off the field, and on offense, trying to keep the chains moving as well. This will be an interesting game, and it seems like to me, Derek, and this is going to be weird to say, and I could be wrong, it seems like there's more knowns about Illinois than there is knowns about Wisconsin. What I mean by that is Wisconsin is replacing six guys on defense, including, like you said, two linebackers that combined for 24 sacks last year. Now, what does Wisconsin do? They reload. But there's some unknowns there in terms of, I know Jack Sanborn's there. He's a stud. He's a Lake Zurich, or he's an Illinois guy that is as a linebacker for Wisconsin, and he is their best defensive player going into this game. We know he's there. We know their defensive line is good. But there's still some unknowns on that side of the ball. And then on the offensive side of the ball, there's the unknown of Graham Mertz. There's the unknown of Nakia Watson. He's not Jonathan Taylor. Will he be able to run the ball with effect? Probably. They lost their number one receiver. Their tight end's back, so that's a known, and it always is a known for teams like Wisconsin and Iowa. But it seems to me, Derek, there is almost more unknowns about the Badgers, but the one thing they get is the benefit of the doubt, because every year, wherever there's an unknown, they just reload it with somebody that's really good, and it becomes a known by the third or fourth game.
Yeah, and a program like that has earned it, to be honest with
no
you.
No doubt.
I think that we have to continue to give them that nod more times than not. We do the same thing with Iowa and some of those other really consistent programs. But, yeah, I think that when you look at it, and, of course, when we see it from the Illinois perspective and we talk about knowns, and we might even throw a Luke Ford in there, which that probably isn't even fair because he hasn't done anything in college. But in terms of four offensive linemen starters, a quarterback, your top receiver, those are a lot of things to like on an offense,
right,
with a play caller that you know, although I think a lot of people, and I think Jeremy's pointed it out all week in his coverage, this is prove it time for Rod Smith. I think when you go back and you look at some of their numbers last year, you mentioned time of possession against Wisconsin. I think in the Big Ten, Illinois was 13th in time of possession. Now, that's going to be taken away some if you have defensive takeaways and short fields.
No doubt.
But I don't want to, you know, pull some of the pressure off of that either, that you got to be better. And so, I continue to go back to consistency. Brandon Peters was 6-for-18 to start the game against Wisconsin. He had some ugly showings earlier on, and I liked his finish of the year, but the Nebraska game, there were just stretches where he couldn't put together a three-game, really impressive, consistent showing. Now, was he better than anything Illinois had here in the past 7 years at quarterback or whatever it may be? Yeah, absolutely. And it's another chance to take it a step forward. But, yeah, to beat a Wisconsin on the road, how much does that mean anymore? I don't know. But in a very, very big game right off the bat, I think it's very important.
I think the expectations and the pressure should be high for Brandon Peters. I think he is a guy now in his second year. He's a guy that's been around college football a long time. He's an older, experienced player. I think the expectation should be there for him to come out and play. And obviously, if Brandon Peters can play at a high level this season, not just tonight, but this season, then that's going to give Illinois a heck of a lot better chance to rack up some wins. All right, real quick, a couple of news and notes from today. Purdue, Rondale Moore, he has tested positive for COVID. I know mentioned that yesterday,
he?
Or has he? Because on my trek today, my six-hour trek, I got one text saying Rondale Moore has tested positive, but then I see Tom Deanhart says that Rondale Moore said he will be back and ready to play against Illinois, which makes me lean to believe that he's not going to play tomorrow.
So the report is Mark Schlabaugh for ESPN says Rondale Moore will not play, and Purdue has since confirmed, will not play against Iowa. They're not disclosing the reason. Of course, we know that Purdue has had COVID issues.
Yes.
Jeff Brohm's not going to coach. There's going to be a couple of other coaches and some players not playing, assuming it, at the very least because of contact tracing, if not positive tests. Now, it is just a little, I've seen some of this word used on Twitter, a little sketchy.
Okay.
That Rondale Moore, they don't have the reason he's going to miss. Is if it's not COVID, what is it? If it is COVID, he should be out 3 weeks minimum.
Right. Well, we'll find out. I guess we'll find out. I guess we got, if you're an Illinois fan, you got more things to worry about right now than Rondale Moore in week 2. on the NFL level, you've got some wide receivers, including Michael Thomas for the New Orleans Saints. The Saints have been hit hard now all of a sudden. If this is accurate, it looks like Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders will both miss the Saints game this weekend due to COVID. And, of course, Michael Thomas has been hurt and just now coming back from that, and now all of a sudden this happens. Not good news for New Orleans.
Emmanuel Sanders is missing for a positive COVID test. They're saying Michael Thomas is missing for a hamstring injury. Now, he's had a couple of different reasons.
That's my bad. Was it last week?
The last Saints game was he was recovering from the hamstring, and then he got into a fight in practice, and that was the reason he was out. Then his disciplinary punishment was over. He practiced some this week, but now he's being held out for a hamstring.
Okay, my fault. I'm glad Michael doesn't have COVID. So that's still a big blow to New Orleans, certainly, if those two guys are left off that roster. All right, again, we're going to hear again from Jake Layman around 4:45 or so on what he had to say about Illinois, Wisconsin earlier this week on Monday. He'll join us again this coming Monday, that in what, three days, I guess, from now, or whatever you say it, to break down this Wisconsin game and also preview Purdue. We're going to do that all season, and that's exciting to have Jay Layman in studio to do that. So you'll hear from Jay Layman a little bit later this hour. Dre Brown, former Illini running back, he was part of the team last year that upset Wisconsin right here in Champaign. He'll join us at 5:05. Hans D's got our Big Ten football edition of Who You Got, and when we come back, this or that Illinois-Wisconsin edition. We'll break down each of the groups, try to figure out who's got an advantage in those groups. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. Find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TanePiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at StevieJay.com, StevieJay.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tane Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is The Drive.
I'm Mark Sheldon, your county recorder of deeds. For 14 years, I also served as your county clerk. At that time, I never supported the merger of the recorder and the clerk. Why was that? Very simply, I actually talked to the experts in this area, such as bankers, title companies, and attorneys. They record $1 billion in property transactions each year, and most don't support a merger. My opponent claims that Cook County, quote, seems to be doing fine. Cook County has a 6 to 8 week delay in recording right now. In Champaign County, you can walk in the office and immediately get a document filed. 2 years ago, county Democrats told voters it didn't matter who the treasurer was. In 2 years, we've seen taxpayers get double billed and homeowners have their refinancing delayed. I want to make the recorder appointed rather than an elected politician so we can ensure professional administration in the future.
Paid for by Citizens for Mark Sheldon.
Hi, this is Dan Moyson, president of Simplify Computers. COVID-19 has changed the way we work, study, and play. The virus is ripping across the country, but the little culprit will not win. Simplified Computers remains dedicated to helping you work safely. We offer in-store and curbside service 7 days a week. We are a one-stop computer sales, repair, and consulting company. Come see us today at 901 South Neal Street or online at simplifiedcomputers.com or at 352-5000. Simplified Computers, simply the best.
At Matex Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, we salute our local veterans. This fall, we are inviting you to feel the difference and make a difference. Now through Veterans Day, November 11th, you can take a $25 discount on your service costs or forego the discount, and Matex will use your $25 to cover your furnace repairs for local veterans in need. Know a veteran in need of assistance? Nominate them for a new furnace by visiting MatexService.com/veterans. Call, text, or schedule online today. Matex. Feel the difference.
Here's Scott Allen, manager of Paxton Hardware and Rental, to tell you about his store.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're just a nice small-town hardware store who really cares about our community and really cares about our customers. All we want to do is provide you with the best service we can, the best products we can, the best selection we can.
Paxton Hardware and Rental has everything you could need.
It's an awful lot, though. It's hard to keep it all straight sometimes, but we can find it for you.
Paxton Hardware and Rental, 217-379-3611.
You're going to get first-class, first-rate service here at Paxton Hardware and Rental.
University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, also known as ACES, invites you to participate in the first ever virtual ACES Family Academies. Spend time with your child or grandchild and experience all ACES has to offer. These free sessions will be posted all summer and cover a variety of ACES topics with hands-on activities that extend beyond agriculture. ACES is more than meets the eye. Register for these free sessions at acesalumni.illinois.edu/events.
So when you get a call, Justin Stalter, our first responder of the month with Aero Ambulance, you don't know what you're going to.
Nope, you get the information from dispatch, who, by the way, in highlighting first responders, we need to not forget our emergency dispatchers, because none of this works without them. Great group of people, for sure. But yeah, if you're waiting for tones to drop, it could be medical, it could be trauma, you just never know. The important thing is to approach every call the same way. You're not caught off guard when you do it that way.
When you get home at night, Justin, you see some things. Does it hit you that I just did X, Y, Z, or are you able to separate all that?
You know, each person does it a little bit differently, but, you know, over the years, I have been able to kind of separate that, try to keep home a happy place, if you will. But there are times where you'll have, you know, kind of some things pop up in your head, and that's when it's important to you. You know, your peer support system, and talk to those that understand the job.
First Responder of the Month, brought to you by Engelbrecht Grills and Cookers. Go to grillsandcookers.com.
My name is Tina Hughes, and I am a Champaign County farmer. I farm not just for this generation, but for generations to come. I farm with sustainability and the future in mind. I farm to provide 3 safe, nutritious, and healthy meals for my family and for yours. I farm using technology and the best practices available to allow my kids and grandkids to be able to farm this ground long after I am gone. Farming is a tough business, and times are hard right now, but I will farm for my family and for yours. Champaign County farmers farm for you. A message from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Long Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Going to join us at 5:05 as we get you set for Illinois-Wisconsin tonight. Camp Randall, not Camp Rantoul, as I came out with.
That's true, bro. No cap.
What is going on today between Hans and my son Andrew? They're saying things that I don't understand.
It's like a round of Urban Dictionary. I'm
confused by what they're saying. All right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. Derek Piper is here. Trevor Valise straight ahead. We're going to have a round table now on last night's debate. I'm kidding. No, we're not doing it.
All right, so.
We're not going anywhere close to that. We'll hear from Jay Layman later this hour, and of course, Dre Brown next hour. And who you got?
I was listening up front while I was working on your intro out of the intro that I'd made.
Yes.
And I thought this would be great to clip it up for next week if, say, Illinois were to win, to start out the highlight reel intro with Lon saying, you know, and it's game day, folks. But you just completely screwed the whole thing up.
I messed the whole thing up.
So I don't know how I'm going to be able to use that now, because you came out and said we're going to handle Wisconsin and Camp Rantoul, and I just, now I can't use it.
I think what we need to do is I'll just do it again.
Next hour?
Yeah. I'll just do it again next hour. We'll see if we can make it work. All right, it's time for a little this or that, Illinois-Wisconsin edition. I'm going to give you some music, and you're going to... Are you going to also partake in this, Trevor?
I was just
going
to moderate, but
that's fine.
You throw in my 2 cents.
That's fine with me. Here we go. This or that.
Now, remember, we used to have the song. I just remembered this. Hans asked me, you know, he thought maybe it'd be a good idea to get the... You could go with this or you could go with that, but you didn't like the fact... That in the instrumental, he kept going,
Oh, that's right.
Like
it was
every
horrible.
5 seconds. So I dropped that.
Okay,
so
good.
That's why we're not playing that in the middle of it.
Ruined the instrumental.
Wasn't a true instrumental, really.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so we're going to go position by position. Start with quarterback. Brandon Peters returning for his second year as a starter for Illinois against Graham Mertz, who I think, Derek, you mentioned he threw, what, 8 total passes or something like that?
10
passes in his career. His first start tonight. Who you got in the quarterback battle?
Well, I'm going to go with the experience of Brandon Peters. I don't know what we've got with Graham Mertz, and that will go a long way tonight in figuring out. I mean, I kind of look at that bowl game last year against Cal, when that kid came out and just was throwing darts all over the field, and you had the idea early on in that game, Trevor, you were at the game, that Illinois was never going to stop him. I hope that's not the case tonight with Mertz. I hope we don't see him come out and just have a dazzling start to his career at Wisconsin. I'll go with Brandon Peters, the experience. I know this is a big one for you, Derek, because you've been on this train of Brandon Peters has got to play better, not only this season, but against Wisconsin and what he did last year. I'll still take Peters, though, with the experience in this one.
Has Brandon Peters thrown a pass against the Big Ten defense?
Yes.
Then I got to go with Brandon Peters.
There you go.
Graham Mertz has not. Peters has thrown a lot of passes, including his time at Michigan, but I think that what you need to see, this has to be a drastic difference. Brandon Peters has to win this by a significant margin for Illinois to be able to win this game tonight. He has to go in with a composure that he's in an offensive system with weapons that he's familiar with. Mertz is in his first start. He should have those jitters and those... Yeah, just seeing Illinois in a big moment for the first time should maybe make him a little jittery and inconsistent, where Peters should settle in pretty nicely.
And you're the national game, man. You're under the lights Friday night.
Tonight. I mean, I think there's one other like mid-major game, but this is pretty much it.
I hope Illinois the whole time warming up is like, man, Graham, this is a big game, buddy. This is national, man. Everybody's watching.
No one's watching UAB tonight.
No.
Unless you bet it.
I was going to say, give him a negative thought. Early.
Yeah.
Whether that's a pick, a fumble, a sack.
Oh,
just
man.
Make him doubt himself as much as humanly possible in the first quarter and just see what happens.
How about a Marquez Beeson pick and go?
Pick and go?
Pick and return.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got my own lingo.
Pick and go.
Pick and go.
Sounds like an apple orchard more so than a turnover. Okay, the running back battle for Illinois. You got Chase Brown, Mike Epstein. They are listed as the or, if you will. So they're probably get an equal share of time. And then behind them, you have Jakari Norwood and then Reggie Love as well. For Wisconsin, they have Garrett Groshek. And then you guys mentioned the kid out of Jersey.
Yeah.
The sort of unheralded backup, Watson.
Noel, Nakia Watson's not out of New Jersey.
Oh. Who's the one out of New Jersey? There's somebody out of New Jersey.
It's another kid that's not listed here. Nakia Watson's a guy that played it. He did play quite a bit last year behind Jonathan Taylor. Quite a bit. In other words, Jonathan Taylor pretty much played every snap, and whenever he didn't, Nakia Watson, Watson ran for 300 yards. I mean, it's easy to just automatically default to the Wisconsin running backs, right? Because that's just what they do. This is what they hang their hats on. And I'm sure that they're going to churn out yards behind that offensive line. There's some unknowns on the Illinois side. We have never really seen Chase Brown over a full game, so we'll see what happens there. Mike Epstein, we understand with the injury thing. I would assume Epstein's going to get the ball early, and they're going to let him go to see how he feels, but I do know that Chase Brown's going to get a lot of carries. Unfortunately, because of everything else involved with the Illinois defensive line, the Wisconsin offensive line, I've got to go with Groshek and Watson having the favor tonight in the running back.
Okay. Jalen Berger, by the way, is the true freshman who was composite ranking one of the top 15 running backs in the freshman class, or is one of the top 15 running backs in the freshman class. I'll lean Illinois, but I'll be honest, it's because I know more about them.
Right.
Mike Epstein is someone that I've seen when he's healthy. I think he should push you over the edge here in terms of what Wisconsin's running backs, not really a shot at them. They were stuck behind Jonathan Taylor. I know that Badger fans like Groshek, and they kind of want to see him get a decent amount of the opportunity tonight. But I'll lean Illinois. In terms of matchup, if we're just picking this as position group, I would lean Illinois. Now, if you start to factor in like matchup and who's going to produce more, then I might change my answer. But purely position group, I think Illinois is the edge.
You want a hot take?
Is it going to actually be a hot take?
I think.
Okay.
I don't really understand it still. Here's my hot take. If Derek, if what you just said comes true and Illinois wins this battle right here, Illinois will win this football game. Because you are basically cutting the head off the snake, which is their strong point of running the football. And then you not only match them running the football, but also better them. I think if my hot take would be if that happens,
yeah,
Illinois wins this football.
I completely agree with you. I'm just saying that just taking the players together, I would choose Illinois. But in terms of if you're giving me Wisconsin's offensive line and then the matchup against Illinois' defensive line and their front, then I understand. It. I then would say Groshek and Watson, or whoever they throw in there, probably has a better night.
That's fair.
The wide receiver corps for both teams, Josh Amatorbebe, Casey Washington, Donnie Navarro, Brian Hightower, not mentioned. Those are sort of the listed depth chart ones. Behind them, Trayvon Sidney, as well as others. For Wisconsin, We're going to go from Groshek to just more Wisconsin names, and yeah. I can't wait until we get to, where is it on
Krumholtz.
Here? Oh, there's some great ones in the secondary, but Davis, Pryor, Dunn, and Krumholtz, who I'm sure will be the Brevin Pritzel of this game. But who you got in this match?
You know what? This is a whole lot of eh for me, and I know the receivers are going to have to step up. I don't know anything about these Wisconsin receivers. I don't know much. Obviously, Bebe, Emator Bebe, Josh, is a guy that is a pure number one receiver for you. But I don't really see a lot of guys that pop off the paper to me on the Illinois side as well. I'm going to call a draw. Is that too easy? Is that unfair? I'm going to call a draw on the wide receiver units.
No, that's probably a decently accurate. It lets you know that where it's easy to just go Illinois because of Bebe, that outside of that, it's probably is a draw or a wash or whatever you want to call it. I think, and this isn't a disrespect, but in terms of what we know about these guys, it's Bebe and just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Bebe is a true number one, nine touchdowns last year, and I'd say that's why just his presence on Illinois' side means that Illinois has the better group.
Tight ends. Illinois features tricky. Luke Ford, Daniel Emator Bebe, and Daniel Barker. Wisconsin only listed one. I assume they're going to have at least a backup tight end, but Jake Ferguson was their tight end one last year. Who you got?
I assume they'll have a backup tight end.
I mean, they didn't list one, but I've got to assume that somebody's going to be out there.
Derek, can you go first? Because I just sort of tootsie rolling.
Pro. I usually don't admit it. You just get away with it on the air. I don't even try. Like, hey, Jolly Rancher's like, no, I'd rather not choke on the air. Jake Ferguson was second on Wisconsin last year in receptions. He had 33. Now, he only had two touchdowns, probably because they gave the ball to Taylor in the red zone. But because of that, I would say, now look, we don't know about Luke Ford. We got to see it. We don't know that much about Bebe. We got to see it. I can't wait either. I don't want to just pick Ferguson. One, because I've picked Illinois in the first three, and I'm getting a little uncomfortable with that.
I hear you.
Two, because Barker had a really good year last year. So I would say close to a wash if I could.
Okay, no, that's fair. Now, I'm going to lean Wisconsin, and here's why I'm leaning Wisconsin, because for the last 20 years, they know how to use a tight end. Now, that's not a knock on Rod Smith. Illinois really not had tight ends to use. Last year, Daniel Barker certainly was pretty good in some games, had some really big catches. We don't know yet what Luke Ford's going to do. I am trying my best to hold my expectations on a four or five star tight end that went to Georgia and is now a junior, classified as a junior, is built like a tank. And not only that, is, I don't want to say the word arrogant, he is just absolutely confident in himself and what he can do for this Illinois team. But because I haven't seen it yet, I'm going to lean Wisconsin only because in the past, this is what they do right. So I'm going to go Ferguson. And Ferguson had like 50 catches last year for Wisconsin. So he's, you know, well, no, not 50.
33.
That's my fault. I'm sorry. Yeah. 33 catches. So that's a lot of catches for a tight end. So I've got to go with the known right now. But I hope one's over, I hope going forward, this tight end, when we do this or that, I hope from now on, it's a sweep for Illinois.
Offensive line, Illinois features Vidarian Lowe, Vertus Brown, Doug Kramer, Kendrick Green, and Alex Palchewski.
Wow.
Wisconsin's is just more Wisconsin names. Bruss, Dietz, Lyles, Seltzner, and Van Lanen.
They all eat cheese. Well, okay.
PFF ranks Illinois' offensive line as one of the top three in the country right now in terms of a returning unit.
I was about ready to say, I was given the dramatic pause of the, okay, am I really going to pick an offensive line over Wisconsin? You're thinking right, I am. Doug Kramer is a stud and a leader of that offensive line. Kendrick Green's going to be playing on Sundays one day. Palchewski may be playing on Sundays one day. And what I like is the fact that you're bringing in Vertus Brown, but you have so much experience around him that I think that's going to ease him into his spot at right guard. So I like Illinois. Derek, I'm going Illini on this one.
I think that's the way you have to go. Now, I get it. It's a little dangerous because offensive linemen, just like running backs, grow on trees in Wisconsin. And you may not know who they are, but it's going to be like the Globo Gym dudes. It's like Laser, Blazer, or 320, and they just kill you. But yeah, the experience on Illinois' offensive line, the talent with Green, who I think I agree with you, is probably going to play in the NFL, and some other guys have a chance there. It's Illinois.
Okay. Can we skip the next one?
Defensive line?
No.
As we flip the defense, it's either 3-2 Illinois or 4-1 Illinois, depending on what you guys are calling a wash so far.
Okay.
We'll go to defensive line, where the Illini feature Isaiah Gay, Roderick Perry, Jamal Woods, and Owen Carney versus Loudermilk.
Loudermilk.
Just, wow.
He's a stud.
Loudermilk is just, wow.
Yeah.
Benton, Rand, and Green May. I don't know any of those
guys. I know all about Benton.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. We talked about that earlier this week, you remember? I'm easily going Loudermilk and the Badgers. I'm not even going to say anymore.
I'm not going to pretend to know who Loudermilk and Benton and these guys
really
are.
He was good last year. Loudermilk was really good last year.
Now, I know what their run defense looked like and bringing some of these guys back, and I know the questions at Illinois, so I would say Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly.
I don't know that we'll ever pick Illinois, minus Rutgers. You know what? Hey, prove us wrong. Prove us wrong.
Linebackers, you got Jake Hansen. Now, obviously, Milo Eifert will not start in this game. It'll be Kalen Tolson, but he is listed as the one starter there. And then Delano Ware on the outside versus Sanborn, Chenal, and Burks.
Wow. Wisconsin, pretty good on the outside. I mean, Sanborn's going to have to make up a lot of ground. In other words, he's got to be as good as he was last year and better, because there's not a lot of depth right now on this Wisconsin linebacker unit. There is some depth on Illinois' side. I like Hansen. I think without Eifler for an entire half, and you have to include that in here if we're doing this, Delano Ware is raw. Kalen Tolson showed some things last year, but I worry about his physical ability to stop the run. I think I'm just, even though I don't know a ton about it, I think I'm going to lean more on the linebacker side with Wisconsin. Sanborn is a first-team All-Big Ten guy, and I know Hansen can be that, but I'm going to go more Wisconsin on the linebackers.
I think you have it right, and Milo just makes it easier of a choice, I think. Again, Hansen's a big-time playmaker, can be an All-Big Ten guy, but Sanborn, leading tackler on a very good defense last year. Burke was a rotational piece. I think he was fourth in terms of tackles for loss last year in Wisconsin, so he's done some things already. I'll go Wisconsin.
After Illinois being up 3-2 in this game, we picked against them for the defensive line and the linebackers. So now they're down 4-3 with 2 to go. We go to the secondary, where Illinois will feature Nate Hobbs, Marquez Beeson coming off his injury, Tony Adams, and Sidney Brown against the only guy better than Loudermilk on this defense is Wild Goose. Wild Goose, Wilder, Burrell, and Williams.
Old Nathan Wild Goose. I don't even know if it's Nathan. It just seems like it should be. I like this Illinois secondary. Nate Hobbs, Tony Adams have been around a long time. They've seen a lot of football. Sidney Brown is one of those guys that can make an athletic play.
Forgot to mention Witherspoon as well.
Well, right. And Devin Witherspoon was their best freshman last year. They think, Jeremy thinks he'll start opposite Hobbs tonight and maybe not Beeson, but yet you're going to see a lot of Beeson. I'm doing it. I'm going Illinois in the secondary. I cannot wait to watch Luke Ford on the offensive side of the ball and Marquez Beeson on the defensive.
Yeah, I know this is a Wisconsin unit that pretty much returns their defensive backfield, both at corner and safety last year. Now, in reading and doing a little research on, they're a little up and down.
Yeah.
They had a good showing against Minnesota, and that was the pushover to put Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. Held a Minnesota offense that was explosive to 17 points.
Mm.
So I'm not saying this is a slouch of a group at all.
No.
I know more about the Illinois secondary, and I like what I know, and I would love to. I can't wait to see Marquez Beeson. I want to see Nate Hobbs take that bowl game a little personally. He got tore up.
He did.
Chase Garbers and Cal tore up that secondary, and Hobbs is a guy that has been talked about, again, someone that could potentially play on Sundays, can be an all-Big Ten type of guy. I think that he needs to show up and have a good response.
I'm with you. There's not a receiver on that Wisconsin side of the ball that should tear up Nate Hobbs tonight.
4-4 going into our last
unit. We win then.
And a good unit to be going into if you're tied up in this game.
Illinois wins.
The special teams featuring James McCord, Blake Hayes, Ethan Tabell doing the long snapping. I don't know any of these guys from Wisconsin. Larsh, Vujunac, Vujnovic.
Vujnovic.
And Bay.
He's a good shooter for Purdue. You want to remember when I said, Derek, earlier this week, bend but not break on this defense? You want them kicking field goals because they're not very accurate. Now, I hope I'm knocking on wood, and I hope I didn't just jinx the entire thing and they come out and hit six field goals tonight. This is easily Illinois on this one. I'll take the Illini and the special teams.
It's Illinois. It's Illinois. The guys that have the legs, as Lon said, something like that earlier in the in the week. That's right. Illinois gets the advantage for those guys.
That's perfect.
Illinois wins this or that 5-4.
And we didn't have coaching in there.
Oh,
that's true.
Let's hold that off. How about we do that? Hey, Jay Layman joined us on Monday, and he broke down some of the Illinois-Wisconsin. Here is Jay from earlier this week.
I think there's a lot of things going against Wisconsin in this game. Okay, first off, Jack Cohn, right? You don't have your starting quarterback. You don't understand. You might have a highly touted freshman, but the first game usually highly touted freshmen lay eggs.
Exactly.
Okay?
Let's
hope. Illinois fans are hoping he lays an egg, number one. So I think that's a big thing. I think it's a big thing when it comes to, now they've had 2 weeks to work on cadences and stuff like that, but, you know, having your quarterback in there, he's looking everybody in the eye, especially a team that huddles like Wisconsin. You got a different guy in there. That's different. Number two, you don't have the security blanket of Jonathan Taylor.
True.
Tyler Biadasz, the center last year, gone to the NFL. I think he was a huge part of what they do, okay? So a lot of pieces of the puzzle gone. Quintez Cephas gone. The fans are not going to be there. That's a big advantage usually for Rowdy Camp Randall for the Badgers. So there's a lot of things lining up in favor of the Illini for this game.
Amen.
It sounds weird. Usually Illini fans are like, everybody's going against us. This is a game we can say, wait a second, we actually got some positives coming for us. We don't know if that's perception or reality or maybe both.
There's some truth behind that. I think there's some truth.
You mentioned their young, inexperienced quarterbacks prone to mistakes. Graham Mertz has thrown 10 passes, 5 against Kent State, 5 against Central Michigan. Do you do something different defensively to lead him into those as far as disguising your coverages, blitzing more, just kind of let it happen?
I think you heat him up. Now, I know Lovey's been pretty vanilla and saying we're going to play our coverage. I wouldn't be surprised to see Lovey try to heat him up with some pressure because I don't know if our front four can get pressure.
Right.
It isn't the most experienced offensive line that Wisconsin's ever had. They got some new guys in there, right? So I think, number one, they want to create turnovers. That's how they won the game last year. The best way to create turnovers, pressure on the quarterback. He's going to make some mistakes. And I tell you what, right now, Lovie Smith's done. Listen, be ready. He's going to throw one to you.
Yeah.
He's going to throw one or two to you. Right, so be ready. Make sure you catch the ball. So I think they're going to heat him up. And I think, too, here's what we got to watch out for. When I watch Wisconsin on film, you think they're just going to run. They actually have a really high passing ratio on first down. We got to be ready for that. When I look at the film, they pass the ball over 50%, I think, on first down. People don't realize they're about 50-50 pass to run, and you think it's just pound, pound, pound. So we got to be careful on the play action because that's how they're going to get their big plays.
Right.
And we've got to win third down. Everybody always says that, but we got to get off the field because we can't just ground and pound on 15-play drives with these guys.
Third downs are so huge. Somebody even texted in the College of Aces text line, Foles is converting third downs for the Bears. If you convert third downs, you can break the will of a defense. I don't think there's any doubt.
The money down.
Jack Cohn, to me, would have been a guy more of a pocket passer, right? He's not going to necessarily get out and run as much. It sounds like, and I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on Graham Mertz, it sounds like he's more of a runner. Does that worry you a little bit with this Illinois defense, or do you think Illinois is equipped to be able to kind of stop those fakes and him taking the ball?
I don't think he has the explosive running the ball. I think he's kind of like a Brandon Peters from what I've heard. But, I mean, but Peters can run some. I think you got to be able to account for the quarterback because in college football it is that today, right?
It is.
You have to be able to. So they account for. I think you'll see him on a couple, you know, QB keep zone reads. I just spilled my water everywhere for you guys, but I'm still doing with the radio show right now. I missed the keyboard by like 2 minutes. Good thing we're not on TV, guys.
We're good. Well, we're on YouTube.
Whoa.
Yeah,
you see that? Bam. I was so excited about the zone read. I was doing the motion, and I knocked over my bottle. And all my notes, which is all of 2 lines, are gone right now. If you guys
I'll go get it. You're good.
You're good. Okay, thanks. Okay, you're good. I'm good. Anyway, what I'm saying is a little bootleg action, a little zone read. Football, baby. Just get warmed up. Game one, you know.
Let's go.
Wisconsin defensively seems like the last at least 5 years they're a top 10 defense in terms of scoring defense. Yeah. They do lose some big guys in Chris Orr, Zach Bond in the middle, who I think combined for 24 sacks last year.
Yeah.
So what do you see out of what they'll bring back, Jim Leonard, his scheme? If linebackers are racking up that many sacks, they must be blitzing a lot.
Well, yeah, Zach Bond, you know, basically was a defensive end in that 3-4 scheme, basically. And he's a great player. He had great get-off pipes. I mean, he when I say get-off, his speed, getting off the line and getting to the quarterback, he was going underneath all kinds of... And while we're speaking, Lante can do it all. He got me about 4 or 5 paper towels, and I am now wiping the table, guys. Just like Zach Bond used to wipe the slate clean for quarterbacks. Chris Orr, he was a good blitzer, but he's more of a leader, too. They got some guys, though. You know, Noah Burks, Jack Sanborn, they got guys. And a lot of their backers over the years, like T.J. Edwards and Jack Sanborn, those guys were Illinois guys. I mean, they're like, you know, I think Deer Park, maybe Lake Zurich, Palatine guys. I'm like, we got to get those guys. It just drives me crazy that the north suburb kids go there and the other suburb kids go to Iowa. We got to get some of those guys. So that drives me crazy.
What do you think about Illinois' ability to establish a run in this game? Lon's mentioned a lot here in the lead up. That's a huge key, takes some pressure off Brandon Peters, maybe getting some play action. Do you think Illinois can do that against Wisconsin?
You know what I also think they're going to do to establish the run? I wouldn't be surprised to see some jet sweeps. That's the fly sweep. You know, I don't know if it's Isaiah Williams. I don't know if it's Trayvon Sidney. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't even know if it's getting the ball to Luke Ford.
Mm.
You know, getting flexed out and whatnot, getting the ball in his hands ASAP. They've got to find a way to not just attack at the teeth of the defense, but to attack the perimeter. And what you'll see offensive coordinators do is they will get defenses going side to side early. Wear them out. A little bubble pass that way. Reverse the other way. Do a bootleg that way. Get that. And then they start to just try to gut guys, right? So you'll see a lot of different things. And here's what's exciting about this season. We're not guaranteed 9 games. We hope we get 9
games. That's right.
Open up the playbook right now. Guys, there is no eligibility. It's a free year. Play everybody and their sister, right? Open up the playbook. I'm going to say this could be the most exciting 9-game stretch we've seen. All conference games.
Yep.
Playbooks are wide open. Players are wide open. You don't know how many games you get. So let me see your best shot. I don't want to see any conservative play calling. I'm going to say it right now. If I see conservative play calling from any coach, whether it be Illinois' coaches or any, I'm calling it out. Why? You don't know if you can play next week.
That's a great point,
Jay. Let me see
Jay.
What you got.
Yep.
All right? This is it.
Jay Layman's water is not the only thing that has spilled. The point spread has spilled under 20 points. I'm saying Illinois plus 19.5 now at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, well, obviously FanDuel tuned into our radio show.
Yeah.
They know that we have the biggest insight ever. Lante and Pipes on the drive. We know we're under 20. Here's the thing. This is straight bulletin board material. Badger bulletin board material for the Illini right here. You beat a team. You upset a team. And then the next year, with no home crowd, no All-American tailback, no starting quarterback, you're still a 20-point dog.
Mm.
It's like when Ron Zook used to tell us after we lost, hey, listen, does your body hurt? Does your mom not love you anymore? Did your girlfriend dump you? Nobody cares about you.
Yeah.
Basically, you've got to come and win. And that's what people care about. I don't care. The guys, this isn't Park District. This is major college football. Unless you win, you can't shut anybody up.
That's true.
And so you got to win. And that's why all the cards got to come out. Speaking of Vegas, we need to play all our aces in the hole.
Boom.
Done.
Okay. There's a little bit of excitement that happens here on Mondays with Jay Layman, as you can tell in that. And again, Jay will be here 4 to 5 this coming Monday to break down the Wisconsin game. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll break all that down Monday. And then, of course, we will preview Purdue going forward. I can't wait to actually break down a game with Jay. That'll be fun to do. He's on Big Ten Network tonight, by the way, doing the pre and post game of this Illinois-Wisconsin. The national stage, 7 p.m. kickoff, Big Ten Network from Madison. When we return, Dre Brown, Illini running back last year, former Illini running back. He had a big game against Wisconsin. He'll join us to talk about it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.